You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Geeked Out. My name is Michael Dean, and tonight we are going to do a review on the new Fox show Empire, starring Taji B. Henson. I said her name right.
It's Taraji.
You know, I don't. Hey,
Butcher
I rename everybody. And Terrence Howard doing his best. Morris Day. We'll get into that. Joining me tonight is Miss Tori. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great.
All right. Good to see you. Next up is Mr. Sean Hill.
I'm doing well. Ready to discuss this show. It's quite interesting. So curious to hear what everybody else thinks.
All right. Mr. Aunt Pooh, how are you, sir?
Doing all right.
Okay. Mr. Houston, how are you?
Well, in the words of Terrence Howard, I'm doing fine, man.
Hilarious. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Big Sexy and Sack, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm well. Looking forward to talking about a little music business TV.
All right. So, again, we are talking about the new show, Empire. We all have pretty much watched the first episode. That's the only thing that's available right now. And this is a show. Actually, I believe this show was written, and I'm sure this episode was directed by Lee Daniels, or definitely he's a producer. And he's known for which movies as, gosh, say some of his movies real quick.
The Butler?
The Butler. Didn't he do the one, Make Me Feel Good?
Oh.
The hell?
Yeah, Monsters Ball?
Yeah, Monsters Ball. Yeah, that was like one of his first big ones.
He did Precious.
Precious, yeah. Oh. Yeah, he's had a lot of classics.
Shadow Boxer with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Straight to video. Yeah. Cuba was in this, right? Cuba was in this.
He did a movie with Kevin Bacon, too, where Kevin Bacon was a pedophile.
You're right. Yes.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's a great movie.
I don't like how you said that.
Kevin Bacon was a pedophile? Ooh.
Wait, hold on. And word of warning, apparently he's attached to the untitled Richard Pryor biopic.
Uh-oh.
Why is that warning?
I'm just saying, if you're going to base this off of The Butler and this show, I'm a little worried.
Oh, boy.
Bang.
Uh-oh. I like The Butler. But anyway. Okay.
So can we get the obvious out of the way first? Is this a de facto sequel to Hustle and Flow?
I wish it was, but no, it is not. And we will also stay at the top. If you have not seen the show, spoilers, warnings, because we're going to talk about the show.
That's right. Ant's on the show, so there'll definitely be spoilers.
Wow. Shots fired. I don't know what that was. You right there with him sometime, bro. You don't give a damn about when nobody else seen something. Look, did you see the part where the man got killed? And he didn't, God damn.
This is what I'm going to say here, Sean. If you're going to ride the short bus, expect to get lapped.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get into this thing. Let's go around the room. So I'm going to start with Aunt Pooh. Okay. Aunt Pooh, what did you think of Empire Episode 1?
This was a bad parody scripted episode of Love and Hip Hop. And I don't even know. I don't know if that's an upgrade or a downgrade. I'm just like, it's just ridiculous between Terrence Howard and his bad overacting, sounding like a Southern gentleman with a bad case of. First of all, let's get on that goddamn hair. Can that man make up his mind? Is he going to have an ultra perm or he going to have a crown? Because he's confusing me. From scene
not ultra perm.
Man, that's that whole light skin thing, man. Hey, brothers.
Hey, no, but juices and beer.
It reminded me of the joke I think Adele Gibbons said. She was they was talking about Red from Five Heartbeat, how he whipped that dude's ass so bad that his curl, he went from a perm to a jerry curl by the end of that ass whipping. I'm just looking at this like, okay, you're confusing me. But on the surface, I just had so many problems with this. Like, it's 2015. I'm going to assume by the fact that they had cell phones that this is contemporary times. And I just don't like the portrayal of our black characters. We have a hood rat ass ratchet mama named Cookie. which, you know, we can't go all the way in because Magic Johnson's wife is named Cookie, is nicknamed Cookie. So, but still, that she ain't acting like Magic Johnson's wife. I mean, just totally ratchet, totally sassy. Apparently, she's like the most single, independent, strong black female doing it for herself ever. Because she was, not only did she do A&R, but she was a drug dealer and she was a mama and she put in work. Like, goddamn. She had all the No, for real, though. No, she did. Go ahead.
That was an interrupt. I just want to say one thing about her character is that, all right, so she's 17 years out, you know, out of jail or whatever, or just coming out. And she has no adjustment period whatsoever. She understands and knows everything about everything that's going on in the world, although she's been behind bars for 17 years. I just thought that was kind of crazy.
There are so many leaps of faith that you have to, suspension of disbelief that you have to go through. But the first one I'm going to get in is as Terrence Howard, they make this big thing. We get to see him. He goes up into the conference room. He got all these board of directors and high executives in his black record label, which right there, that's some bullshit because ain't no black record label.
He's right.
Doing that well in 2015. And he says that, well, even though I sold drugs, I it was about the music and I pulled myself up from my bootstraps and I'm just record executive and I'm going to, the way the music game is set up now, it's not going to help that project do, that aspiring rapper in a project. So I'm going to be able to do that by taking my company public. I was like, how the fuck is that?
How's that going to change anything?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, you're going to go into some detail. How is your company going public going to help that young aspiring rapper? Like, oh, I'm lost on that. We can get into more, but right now I just think I know I went hard and heavy on Black-ish, and we all thought there was a whole lot of bullshit, but I don't think I'm wrong in thinking that Empire is some bullshit. It is not going to get better.
All right. I do agree with you. I did question that too. I was waiting for him to say something innovative or something like, we're going to do this and the company's going to go in this new direction. But all they said was going to go public. I was like, okay, how does that change the music industry?
That makes you like every other music label.
Right.
Who's screwing their artists?
Tori, what did you think about the show?
I didn't like the show. They're really going to have to do it big for the second episode. It didn't do it for me. With the characters, they were just out of control, especially the three boys that betrayed the children. Out of control, disrespectful. And then the mom, you know, her character is just totally ratchet and over the top. And I didn't really like it. We can, you know, go further into detail about certain things. But overall, I'm not satisfied with it. I really thought that it was going to be something big. And it keeps coming to me that I thought it was going to be something like similar to Power. But I have to realize, too, that it's on Fox. So it's not going to show, when I say Power, the other... what is the show that I'm talking about that's on?
The 50 Cent produced. Yeah. I think it's Stars.
Yeah, I think it is on Stars. But, you know, I thought it was going to be something similar to that. But it's so watered down and, like, over-the-top ratchet. It just seems like it just kind of puts us back. It's like, why can't we be perfected in a different light? So I just, 2 thumbs down for me.
Mm. You know, I thought that, to me, it was a soap opera. It was a soap opera that comes on at night. To me, it kind of reminds me of a Dynasty sort of thing, but it just has, it has hip hop, you know, in it, and black people are in it, obviously centerpiece. But I thought it was scripted, and the events and how things act were so outrageous. But again, it wasn't no more outrageous than normal sort of soap opera-y type of programming. I also sort of thought this reminded me of something that I would think Tyler Perry would have done. Because it kind of was just so out there with the things that were going on. You know, you had the three...
Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Far be it from me to ever run to the defense of Tyler Perry, but don't put that on him. Do not put this show on him. He don't deserve that.
Well, no, he has that one show that comes on now. It was the...
have and have not.
The have and have not. So, I mean, it's a soap opery type of thing, and he does that. So to me, it's
I'm
the
just
same.
Saying he's sitting somewhere like, man, see, they can't blame me for this shit.
Oh, no, I don't blame him for it. I just say it reminds me of something that he would have done personally. That's just my take. Again, I don't dislike it, but it is nowhere in the category of, and you brought up Power, Tori, yeah, which I like Power a lot, but people thought they were going to be sort of similar type of shows, but this is far from a Power. This is more of your just standard, you know, kind of BS TV show that's going to be just, you know, a lot of crazy stuff is going to happen. But the only thing I will say about this show is I think it's well done. It's actually the part I don't care for it is it reminds me of something like what I think Glee must be or something like. I don't like the long musical numbers in the show. First of all, I don't like the songs. And the one kid who has this rap song and they're like, oh, that's the shit. And what was the lyric like? His lyric was stupid. I was like,
yeah, it was very simple.
It was like
1, 2, 3, A,
one, two, three. It's like that. It's like that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, am I missing something? What the fuck is that shit? It's horrible. And then they were just the overextended performances, and they had I call him Frank Ocean. I don't know what the name of the character is on there. He's basically Frank Ocean. I was like, eh. I was like, okay, I see they're trying to make you the. You know how people play the race card? They're playing the gate card.
Heavy.
I was like, eh. So now we got to deal with this. I'm like, okay. He's gay. You know, they got on people. He's being blasted for being gay by his dad. They're going to play this.
It's 2015.
Yeah, they're going to play this whole thing up. I already see how they're trying to position this. And hey, I understand Lee Daniels is a gay man. Much respect to you, sir. You're very successful. And maybe he's trying to play out some of the things that he experienced in this. So I can respect that. But it just seemed to me like it was hammering in your face. Like, oh, I'm going to make this gay kid a star. And, you know, he's calling him a faggot. Or she called him a faggot.
And a sissy.
And a sissy has her own.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her own son. I was like, really? And then the other part.
2015.
Right. And the part where he's going to throw the boy in the trash.
Oh, you took my note.
Apparently, I saw a headline. I didn't read it. But apparently that part may have actually happened to Lee Daniels. So, okay. If that was true, then, I mean, it was just so outrageous. I was like, really? Is that what they're doing in the hood? Maybe they are. It just seemed like so ridiculous to me.
Well, go ahead. I have to call shenanigans on that bullshit as well. Because Lee Daniels is what, in his 50s? So that would have happened to him in like late 70s. So for you to portray that, and we don't know a timeline, but they're using cell phones. So within the last 10 years, and they said 17 years ago, so the mid 90s, I don't think that shit happened. Yeah, but we can talk about that later. But that was such bullshit.
Yeah. So, and last, I would just say, but I did like. I didn't have any problem with the acting. I just thought it was written so ham. It's made to play for people who like Ratchet TV, which I do like some Ratchet TV.
Yes, you do.
Ain't gonna lie. And you called it very well.
She co-signed it too.
It is a scripted, actually a watered down version of Love and Hip Hop. Because Love and Hip Hop is more crazier because it's real. But it does play into that audience. So I see there is a place for it. I don't see it degrading black people personally. It's not as worse as the Love and Hip Hops and the real shows. This is just another nighttime soap, and we've had these for years. It's just that we're on the centerpiece of it. So it was okay. I don't know if I'll watch the next one. I may, but it's not on the level of TV shows that I normally watch. Q Storm, I believe you did see some of the show. What do you think?
Well, I came in on the show to your point about.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
To your point about the music on the show, and you know, I know what I like in terms of hip hop. I would not consider myself the person to ask what is good hip hop. I just know what I like. But I think the point I came in was where the guy with the high top, yeah, the high flat top.
Yeah, he looked weirdly like a woman or something.
He looked like
he had some soft features.
He looked like a fish to me. But anyway,
my thing was, is like, okay, he's getting on the one gay kid for being gay. And I'm like, do you see the other son? He ain't that far away from it.
I thought he was going to be the gay one because I knew going in when somebody was gay. I was like, oh, okay, he looks like he would. That's horrible to say. That's what I thought. But anyway, going back to Q, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I came in. I thought that was the gay character. He was on the mic and he was talking. I'm going to try to do it. He was saying something like, yeah. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. And they were like, all right, yeah. And he turned around and said, yeah, he was pointing to his brother, the gay character. Yeah, he helped me with it. As if to say, that's not a selling point. What did I just hear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, is that supposed to be good so I can get on your page? But beyond that, putting aside all of the racial, political elements of it and how we're being depicted on TV, all I can say is this. I would tune in next week. To me, I had the same feeling as watching a show like, let's say, Dallas or something like that. It's a popcorn drama, and it hooked me. And I will say this. The scenes where they were flashbacking from, the gay son. I don't know any of their names now. I know Cookie's name. That's about it. But the gay son, he was singing his song. He has a nice voice. I mean, he doesn't sound that distinguishable from any other black male vocalist, but he sounded good, and the song was pretty decent. They were flashbacking to him. You know, they had him coming down the stairs with the woman's shoes on and looking like a woman. I got to tell you, fellas, that really shook me up to see Terrence Howard throw him in the trash can, because I'm not trying to bring my personal life into it, but, you know, I spent 4 years dealing with a child and hearing stories of other children who were thrown away by their parents. And, you know, that shook me up to see that. I mean, I just thought about my son and what could my son ever do to make me want to do that? I mean, I hate to use the word animal, but I'm not going to say animal. But that's a cold-hearted person, let alone parent, that would do that. And so I applaud them for taking it there, whether it's an agenda or not. That was a dramatic scene for me.
You know, go ahead. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got it.
I was just saying, other than that, it wasn't anything but surface-level pop. What's the word I'm looking for? Just base-level guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll check it out next week. It just reminded me that the story seems so simple. It just reminded me of King Lear. It's just King Lear with a black face on it.
Mm-hmm. It's Godfather.
There's one of the, I think one of the sons mentions that in early
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
he says
he
that.
Does, yeah.
Oh, does
he?
Lastly, I'm gonna go to Sean just real quick because you mentioned the thing about the father's character, which is his name was Lucius.
That's right, Lucius. Right,
Leon or something like that.
Lucius Lyon.
The only thing, other thing too, I just felt it was inconsistent with this character, because I'm like, a character that would be that hearted, cold hearted to throw your son in the trash. I didn't understand then why later in life they are living lavish, and the son you're telling us he cares nothing about. He's a music star. I mean, he's, you know, they're balling, doing all this stuff. I was like, he has to be the most cold hearted person. And then, of course, you see the scene where he shoots somebody later in the show. And I'm going to go to Sean. But let me ask you guys this question, because this confused me. You know the scene when he is confronted by the Dookie Gold chain wearing dude?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
He comes to his house. And he's like, yo, I need some money. He draws a gun on him at his house, right? And then they cut to commercial. When they come back to the commercial, they don't go back to that scene. They're on another day, and it's just gone. And I was like, wait a minute, what happened? My man just drew down on him in his house. Where his family's at? What the fuck? What happened?
And he. I thought there was dialogue. I remember that scene. I can say this. I remember that scene, and then they came back, and it must have been something in the dialogue where I didn't question that the scene had been wrapped up.
Yeah, my understanding was it's like he laid down the gauntlet of, yo, give me this money or I'm going to expose all of your
right.
All your skeletons. And then he pulled out the gun like to let him know that, yo, don't try anything on me either. I'm this serious.
And so I was kind of like, okay. again, I was just feeling inconsistent because then later he kills this, you know, Terrence Howard Lucius kills this dude. But I'm like, really? If the character they kind of been showing in flashback, this dude was gangbanging or whatever. He was dealing dope. He was doing dirt. He, you know, obviously he's risen to the top, almost like he kind of like a Suge or something. I was like, would he really let another brother draw down on him in his house?
Oh my!
And walk. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, why is he waiting?
Ultimately, he did.
Well, I mean, but I'm just saying, why would he let that ride though? Like, it was weird to me. I just kind of felt like they didn't really answer it. And me, I don't know, maybe just me. I was like, because when I was watching, I said, nigga, you better go on and shoot, because it ain't gonna be no other. You don't come in nobody's house with a gun. They don't let you just walk off and then be straight for another day or something. I just felt like he would have dealt with him swiftly. But that's
that was the problem I had with that character. First of all, the actor was horrendous. He looked like a basset hound. First of all, you don't step up to someone in their house and pull a gun like you said, and then when you cut to when the camera cuts to him tight, his eyes were looking all droopy and looking like Smoopy and all that. No, and the second thing is when in the scene where they're at the docks or wherever they are. I think this takes place in New York, does it?
I think so.
It looks like they're on the East River or something. Why is this fool standing with his back to the water talking about fuck you? And
exactly.
I'm like, what the? This is not real.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't see New Jack City.
Sean, go ahead.
I have to give my review with the knowledge that this is a pilot. So they got to, excuse my language, they got to blow their wad on this episode to get it sold. So I understand there's a lot going on in this hour. I think a little too much, but you know, they've got to sell the show. Someone mentioned, I hated the music video, especially the one at the beginning where they're on the boat and I'm like, what is this? And it was so poorly timed, and you know, I felt like I was watching Graffiti Bridge or something. It was pretty. A couple of things I wrote in my notes that just kind of made me kind of chuckle and laugh out loud. Cookie coming out of jail. So that's typically when you come out of jail, you're wearing what you wore when you went
in. Exactly.
That's what she was wearing when she went in.
Yeah, I was like, how did she get her? She did her hair and her makeup and she did all that.
You know, she's wearing them Janet Jackson earrings. And
it was 17 years ago.
And the thing is, how did she get 17 years? What was the actual crime?
You know, they never said. I'm assuming it was for that deal that, you know, at the end she said something about didn't feel right or something's wrong or whatever. It probably has something to do with that, but first time pop,
you know, even a huge drug deal like that, you're not getting 17.
Well, it did I'm sorry. It did say somewhere, or she said that she originally got 30, but she got out in 17. I did hear that part.
If she got 30, she killed somebody. No way she got 30 on a drug deal. No way.
Well, maybe we'll find out in a future episode. The couple of things, though, this is a pure water cooler, well, now Twitter show. You know, I have a feeling I'm going to have to stay off Twitter and Facebook during the time that the show is on, because I really watch stuff live. I'll watch a DVR later on, and that's just kind of what it feels like. Someone said also, you know, it's just they're scratching the surface. I'm gonna watch it again. I didn't care for it. I thought Taraji was. I actually thought she was pretty bad. She used to be on that Persons of Interest. I can't believe that she. I don't know if she left that show or was fired or whatever. But I hope she. I kind of hope she was fired. I hope she didn't leave the show to do this, because this is kind of a step back for her, in my opinion. The actors that play the sons, I don't think any of them are any good. I actually wanted to do some research on them, and none of them have a Wikipedia page, which, I mean, that doesn't mean anything, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. It's like, okay, wow, they don't have any bio on them. And one thing that does dismay me about this, and this is, and you guys, maybe we can discuss this, the time slot that it's in. What show is it opposite?
I have no idea, man.
it's opposite Blackish.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't think that was calculated.
Well, you remember back? You remember back when I think it was the Bernie Mac show at DL. I think they were, you know, it was like the only two shows, black shows that were on. Yes, I know there are other black shows on now, but you know, they put them on at the same time. It's like, come on, we've only got two shows, and you're gonna put them on at the same time. This was long before DVR stuff. Yeah,
I thought I was Conspiracy Brother.
Oh, now playing the role of Q Storm is Sean Hill. I just think that that's interesting that, you know, we got, you know, again, one black show competing against another black show. Although I don't think they're different audiences. I think they're probably the same audiences. And I know Blackish now has a big Twitter following. And I don't know if any of you guys follow Roland Martin, but he's big Twitter of Scandal. And I think now he's going to be a big Twitter of this show. So I know I'm definitely going to stay. But as far as its longevity, you know, as long as they are able to kind of flesh out each character a little bit more, and given that it's a TV show, they'll have time to do it. But as of right now, I see just a kind of a pale remake of, you know, The Godfather, New Jack City, hell, even Hustle and Flow, you know, kind of all put those in a blender and this is what you get. So,
well, we'll add that this was Fox's highest rated show in years, apparently. You know, you've got to remember,
I don't
too,
doubt it.
It comes after American Idol, which is a huge big hit for them. But they said
people still watch that.
Apparently they do. They had 9.8 million viewers for Empire, which is a huge number. So I think they got a hit in their hands. You know, people seem to like it. You look on Twitter, I'd look too, and a lot of people loved it. You know, a lot of people were like, this is a good show. So
was there any
I was going to say one more thing, and I think Ant touched on it. I really don't like the fact that, the whole gay son thing, and of course she makes fun of that, and of course the son that's dating a white woman.
Oh, you knew that was coming. You knew that was coming.
And of you know how that's personal to me. You know, it's like, why does it have to be an issue? You know, my wife and I, as far as it's not an issue. It's not an issue with us. We don't, you know, oh, we're an interracial couple. Hey, whatever. You know, no, we get up every morning, we go to work, we, you know, try to pay our bills, take care of our child, you know, that kind of thing. It's not, I just hate that it's always got to be an issue. And even with the son being gay, that's got to be an issue as well. Why can't he, you know, why can't he just, you know, just be gay? Why can't the other son be, you know, be married to a white woman without it being a plot point? So,
well, go ahead. Well, Sean, haven't you heard that African American community is the most racist community in America, according to one poll?
Ooh, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Let me ask a question.
So that's why it's an issue. We're just inertly racist.
But Sean, are you saying that it's unrealistic to portray black people being upset with a black man marrying a white woman?
No, what I'm saying is that it's whenever it's portrayed on a TV show, and we've had this discussion before, it's an issue. It's a plot point.
My point not, is not every time. What's my guy on? Well, it's a totally different genre, but it's a TV show. Arrow. They don't ever bat a word. He had a baby.
Arrow's not going to do anything heavy.
Wait.
No, I'm just saying it's not an issue though. It's like
who are you talking about?
What's his name? Diggle.
I thought this woman was black.
No,
he just that lady had a baby. They just had a baby together. Him and that white lady.
She's not okay. I need to pay attention.
What I'm saying, it's not an issue, right? It's not always an issue, but I think that a show like this that is playing directly to that marketplace of, you know, it's hip hop. It's young. There's a lot of black women that this thing is being marketed to. If you look online or different websites, for them. Yeah, they're going to comment. It's an issue for bad or for worse. So you can, you know, I think that her Taiji's character, there's a certain segment that they relate to what how she's viewing things for better or for worse. So it's not like it's not real, but you can look at it. If you go to Bossip, you know, if you ever look at Bossip, if you look at a lot of those stories when they have to deal with some sort of black entertainer with a white woman, you will see those people come out in droves hating, you know, finding any little thing they can. Ah, Kim is this or whoever they be talking about. So it's there. And this show speaks directly to that genre, that audience. And that's what this show is made for. So they have to put it in there.
Is it Taraji who has the issue with the marriage?
She had the issue with everybody, though. You know, she fired his wife for having looking like woman.
She does say something about
gay guy. You know, she, why you got a man, white girl? You knew that was, we all knew it was.
But I hear what I'm saying. I mean, that character, she says on live, they wrote her saying the word faggot on live, not live TV, but in prime time. So if anyone's going to have it, she's that kind of character that if she didn't have a problem with the interracial marriage, it wouldn't seem real.
Well, real quick, Q, you're really breaking up. So I don't know if you've changed something over there, but kind of cutting out.
I said that. Can you hear me? Is that better?
Not really. No.
Really?
Well, let me just say this. Again, I understand it was the character, and I get that. I just hope that, you know, again, it doesn't become something that is plot related. It can be the character. Yeah, it's not important to the plot right now. But obviously, it's probably going to be because it's a TV show. So why else would he be married to a white woman if for something plot-wise to happen later on down the road?
Well, and Q, this is a Twitter exchange I had. I commented to Tariq Nasheed saying that this was a good show. And I pointed out, I'm like, it was so cliche. They had a cliche brother who's married to a power-hungry, aggressive white girl that has to be pointed out by a jealous Oedipus mom. And this chick with the great Twitter handle of rgoddess69 responded with, jealous Oedipus mom, what show are you watching? She is about her business and no nonsense, and I love her. So there you go. There you go.
I sound better? Do I sound better now?
Yeah.
You know why that? I figured out why that was. I was on my new website, Easy News, downloading the pilot. So.
There you go. What'd you think of that whole thing, Tori, with Taji's character and the son, you know, interracial or even the gay aspect?
As far as the interracial thing, I don't know. I guess you're gonna love who you love. To me, you know, love doesn't have a color. Marry, you know, whoever you want. But the issue that I had with her is not so much that, you know, he was black and she was white, but she was pretty foul trying to set him up against his, you know, brothers to tear them down. So
are you talking about the mom or the wife?
No, his wife. Like how they were in bed, and this is very interesting because women seem to know this trick, but she she was talking really badly, you know, plotting, having him to plot against his brothers. And he's like, yeah, and he's getting all into it. And I'm like, whoa, brother, this chick that you married is talking about taking down your own flesh and blood. And she did it so slick to where she's like, okay, well, let's plot and do this. And then, you know, she jump on top of him, give him some. And, you know, then his real brain go dead. And I just find that very interesting how she could do that. And then she, you know, which a lot of women do, you know, seal the deal with, you know, some pee. It's like, really? Come on. Do you know this chick is just trying to, you know, out, you know, you and your brothers and get you guys to be against each other? Like, I don't like that part of her character. As far as like with the gay brother, I don't know, you know, it's just very interesting to me that, you know, the mom or Taraji, who plays his mom, when she goes to his apartment, she walks in and she's like, oh, well, you know, queen, you need to clean up your house. I'm like, really? The language?
Like she called the dude a girl. Remember?
No, when she walked
through the door. She called him queen, yeah.
And she said, what's she doing here?
No, I'm talking about when she first walked through the door and she's like, don't queens clean their house?
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying when the other dude showed himself, she addressed him as a girl.
Yeah, no, I know. She said that something about this is a cute little Mexican chick or something just ridiculous.
And I don't get that. I'm like, what mother talks to their son like that? I mean,
17-year-old ex-convict probably.
Right, exactly.
17-year convict probably speaks.
But, you know, and then
she's the epitome of the ratchet.
She mom. Is. She
she's
really
basically
is.
The mom from The Wire with a little more sense.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that.
But, like, the part that...
You know,
The part that really got me was how, you know, you guys were talking about, or in the show, the little boy comes down and, you know, in his mom's heels and a scarf or whatever. And I'm trying to figure out, how did he even make it down the stairs? You know, how come somebody didn't see him coming from afar? And it's like, whoa, you know, or why didn't the mom pick up on something? You know, and, you know, it's horrible that he threw him in the trash. But what the little boy did was extremely, you know, bold to, you know, do that. And for the parents not to be able to see something. And that makes me think, or I was wondering, if they're trying to push the agenda of, oh, well, you know, he knew he was gay when he was 4 or 5, which I think is ridiculous because I think it's a choice. You know, when you're that age, you don't know if you're gay. So I feel like they're trying to push that angle, because I've seen like a lot of people argue, or they say, oh, well, I've known that I was gay since I was born. It's like, whatever. I don't believe that. But to me, you know, when people do that, I feel like when they're not happy with what God bless them with, or, you know, I feel like they're just spitting in God's face, like, well, this is not good enough, so I want to be something else. But that's just my take on it.
Well, the other thing is that whole scenario was total bullshit. Because, I mean, again, we had this discussion over the weekend about Lila Alcorn, as far as, you know, sometimes we'll get into our mother's shoes because we just do dumb shit like that. But I'm just like, okay, the dude was in pink shoes, because you had to make sure that he had to have the scarf and walking around with his hands on his hips. And I'm just looking like, what the fuck? Like, what kid acts like that? And then to make it so even unbelievable.
Princess boy? What about the princess boy? He
had, oh, shit. There you go.
But, okay, but in this context, so here context? He is as an adult. Okay, this, I the mean, the context of the show. No, the context of the show. So then when he's a grown-ass adult, if you see him as a little kid acting like that, why is he just a normal straight gay dude? Why isn't he flaming with the, with the sparkles, the heels, and all the extra stuff? Look, if you've seen enough episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta and a couple of those guys, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think part of it is that they're in hip hop, and I think his character is wrestling with wanting to be, come out and be gay, and obviously that's been hidden so far, right? Doesn't want to tarnish the whole brand of whatever the record company was called.
Empire.
I gotta say, Amp.
What?
You just said, calm down, dude.
He gave you that high pitch. Calm down.
You said because he came. I'm gonna make sure I got this straight. Because I'm going to assume he was our 8 years old. Because the 8 year old came downstairs in some pumps and a scarf and put his hands on his hips, you're saying, well, as an adult, how come he's not walking around with the acting flaming with the sparklers or whatever you said? I mean, that's kind of silly, isn't it?
No.
That'd be like saying, oh, you like women and you like looking at women when you were 10 years old? How come you're not walking around with hair on your chest and just scooping women up and any other stereotypical heterosexual stereotype?
Oh, sir, don't put that on me. Put that on the show. The show decided that the best way to illustrate that boy had homosexual tendencies at 8 years old was to go over the top with the stereotype of him with the scarf and the pink shoes and sassying his way down, shaking his hips. To the point that his father threw him in the trash.
I saw the same scene. He did not do all that.
Oh, you didn't see him switching left to right in those pumps.
He did switch.
I didn't catch that, but
I caught that.
Well, all right. So, Mike, because I didn't know this. You said Lee Daniels is gay, right?
Well, I'm not.
Yes, he's very gay. Yes.
Oh, very.
Okay, no, I'm just. Gay. Okay,
wow, I wouldn't know all that, but. Hey.
No, I didn't.
I met a couple times. He's gay.
Okay.
And you know that he's very gay, Q? How's that?
Hey, Dean.
Oh, no, you said you met him a couple times. Yeah, he's very gay.
I saw how he carried himself.
Gotcha.
There's no question.
Right. Okay.
But the man is gay.
Got it.
My point is that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's maybe not stereotypical. It's maybe it's partly autobiographical. I would think that him having this platform, this network, you know, TV show, he's now got the responsibility to, you know, to the gay community to accurately portray what it's like to be, you know, be a black gay, you know, gay male. So I'm going to assume that probably we're going to get a lot of, and I hate to say this, gayness, and that I don't mean that in a bad way, throughout the show. No, I don't know what other word to use.
I love how you make it sound, I love how you make it sound like the Ebola virus. And you're we will get a lot of these faggots walking around the street.
I think it's going to be important to him to make sure, you know, we've had different portrayals of homosexuals, you know, gay and lesbians on TV and in movies. Now, again, he's got this platform. He better not F it up. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, we're going to, we may not like it. We may not say, hey, maybe this isn't real, but it probably is more real than we think if he's going to portray. He wouldn't portray anything like that wasn't true. That was a stereotype, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and Lee Daniels, there's an article I'm looking now, ABC News. He does say that this show is drawing from his real life. And he says one of the points of this thing is to tackle homophobia in the African-American community. So that's what I said. To me, it's a little hammering it down to me a little bit. But, you know, whatever. This is not a smart show. You know, it's made for the common denominator. It's made to be a Twitter show. Yeah, it's titillizing. It's no different than All My Children, Dynasty, Dallas. They want.
Oh, hey, step off of Dallas.
Well, I wasn't a big fan of it, but it's just that to me, it's that kind of thing. It's just not The Wire or Breaking Bad or, you know, any of these shows that I consider upper echelon writing and directing. But so it is what it is. You know, it's just a little, like somebody said, it's a popcorn show. And everybody's a stereotype. To me, the heterosexual dudes were the rapper dude. Like, he got the dogs in there, and the guy's cutting his hair, and he says calls his mom a bitch and all that. It was hilarious, and she beat his ass with a broomstick.
He doesn't.
See, those things, you know, set up for her to do that. Oh, what's up, bitch? You know, she just got out to join. You know, that's an ass whooping.
Yeah.
And as far as Dookie Gold Chain goes, they set that guy. I don't know what his name was, but they set that up in the beginning. Man, I need another 25. I'm not giving you shit.
Yeah.
So you know he was going to be a problem. And when he went to the guy's house and, you know, pull out the gun, right then, you know, oh, he's got to go. He has to go.
I agree.
You know, the first thing I thought. Sorry, go ahead, Tori.
No, I was just going to say that I agree with that. The character with the, what do you guys call it? The Dookie Chain?
Dookie Gold Chain.
Oh, yeah. Dookie Gold Chain. His character seemed like it was a little irrelevant because I remember the part where he was watching Taraji from his car, and then she jumps in the car, and this dude got a sandwich in his hand and like mayonnaise all over his face. It's like, really, sloppy dude?
Fat boys.
Get it together.
Exactly. I was waiting for him. I said, like, it's a washed up rapper, nigga.
There was one joke in this show that it made me laugh, kind of, but it was really dated. It reminded me of Martin. And when he says, I don't know if this was a flashback or not, but he says, what horse did you steal his hair from?
Hair from, yeah.
Yeah, kind of shades of Pam.
We're going back to the weave. Martin did that years ago.
Yeah, I tweeted out. I was like, it took 54 minutes before we got a weave jokes. I'm actually impressed with this show.
One of the things that, you know, the Dookie Chain, I was thinking about too. I'm like, where they do that at still?
I know, right? I was kind of wondering, why is he wearing that? Like, I didn't understand.
And then I would have told, if I was Terrence Howard, I'd say, look, you need money, you better sell that chain around your neck, brother.
<You're getting nuts. laughs>
Does anyone know, are the writers on this show, I mean, is it a, does anyone
Lee Daniels know? Lee Daniels wrote the pilot. I don't know, you know, he's probably got
a
staff.
I think there's a couple of white dudes. I could have sworn on Twitter they kept showing this picture of these two white guys.
Of course there's a white dude with that.
Because you guys, it's a nitpick, but you guys brought up that gold chain. That smacks me in the face of a white guy who thinks that's what black folks in the game, in the hip-hop game, would still wear.
I don't get that.
Lee Daniels directed it, so he could have just said, hey, dude, take that off. We don't do that.
He directed it? I thought he just produced
it. Well,
no, he directed the pilot. He directed the first episode, yeah.
Well, the co-creator is Danny Strong, who was behind. He's done Gilmore Girls. He helped write The Butler, and he did The Mockingjay 1 and 2, which after seeing that Mockingjay Part 1, I'm like, yep, I can see that bullshit.
But you know, one thing I thought they did, they captured great, was when he said, we better take the bass out your voice. I was like, yeah, I've heard that many a times.
Except the way he delivered it.
How did you, what do you mean? He yelled that at his ass. Take that bass out of your voice.
Nah, he sounded like Jerome when they had that stare down in the bathroom with
hell nah.
Girl, I slept the perm out your head.
You tripping.
Oh, hey, Mike, you haven't brought it up yet.
What's that?
Morris Day.
Oh, Morris yeah. Day. I mean, to me, his whole style was like a homage to Morris. Like, from the back when they showed him, I could just picture Morris. Like, he had the perm. The clothes he was wearing, I was like, this dude is kind of playing it like Morris. Yeah.
Yeah, there was one outfit he was wearing that looked straight up like Morris. I want to say it was kind of earlier in the show. I was like, because I guess I'd heard you say that, or I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, yeah, this brother does look like, you know, like Morris Day here a little bit. But yeah, he, you know, Terrence, I don't know. I guess ever since the Iron Man debacle, you know, he just, his career's kind of taken a nosedive. I mean, I don't know what the budget is for the show, but I mean, they've got is him. I mean, everyone else, I don't recognize him from anywhere. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you know, give young actors, unknown, some work, but they could have still stepped up the casting game a little bit, you know.
Well, I'll say this, you know, I think one of the challenges probably with a show like this, because this is a musical, right? Those lead guys have to be able to perform or at least competently sing and rap those songs. So I give them credit. Like, that's a lot of talent that most actors just don't have. So I can understand probably where they had to sort of, when you got to get guys that look like they'll be in it, that can act, but are you able to actively, effectively carry off pulling this music off? And we got to mention too, Timberland does the music or helps produce the music for the show.
I did read they are, you mentioned Glee earlier, there are going to be like Glee, they are going to be doing soundtracks periodically, like maybe per season.
Yeah, and
they got one on iTunes right now.
Oh, there you go.
There's already one up? Okay, well.
It's like a maxi EP, I guess what you call it.
Okay. It's probably the songs that were on the pilot.
Let me ask this, and then we're going to wrap this up. For those who have seen Power and this show, do you think they're similar, or do you like one better than the other? Go with you, Tori, start with you.
They're not similar. No, not at all, from long shot. I think I will like this show, Empire. I need to warm up to it or something. But I like Power better. It's better, just better acting and whatnot. But yeah.
All right. Who else seen Power? Ampu?
I don't know what Power is.
Have not seen Power.
Ooh.
I haven't either.
What is it?
Power is it's a show executive produced by 50 Cent. That's one of the big things. But it's about it's actually about a drug dealer guy who, instead of doing a record company, he gets a nightclub. And he's still heavy doing the drug thing, but now he's trying to go sort of legit and do this nightclub. He's also a married man. He has a wife and a daughter and a couple of kids. His buddy is sort of the more gangster side of their situation. And he ends up meeting a long-lost girlfriend. She had moved away when they were young, but they were, I guess, really tight. She has now come back. They've kind of bumped into each other, I think, at the club. Unbeknownst to him and unbeknownst to her, he is sort of like one of the big drug dealers in the city. She works for the government, like the DEA or something like that, and she is actually trying to catch him, but she has no idea who he really is, and he doesn't know who she works for. And so it's a very interesting, you know, and of course he's married, so they're kind of like trying to have this affair, but at the same point she doesn't know who he is per se, and they're getting closer because of the things that are going on, that they may find out who each other is. And there's a whole other type of stuff, but it's a very well done. I would put it like this. You have like upper echelon, Breaking Bad, The Wire, Walking Dead. I would put it's in the quality level of those shows, where it's definitely multi-layered. and but it's got a lot of action, and it does have sort of the hip hop sort of thing to it. But it, and the actors are just knocking out of the park, the, knocking it out. But from the surface, you can look at those shows, and you would think that Empire's, oh, it must be like Power, because they look very similar to some degree. So that's why I was asking that question. But if you haven't seen it, I would say definitely go check it out. The first season is already done. I believe they're coming back with season two. This show does come on Stars, I believe.
Oh, it's on Stars. Okay.
But if you can find it online, check it out. I really like the show. It's really good. Surprisingly, it's really good to me.
But interesting you brought that up. I wanted to have a discussion later. 50 Cent and Taraji got into it about Powers versus Empire.
Yeah. I could see what he was saying. Again, if you've seen both, you would think that Empire is like, oh, this must be the, you know, regular TV's version of Power. Even the way I think they probably marketed it a little bit. But now having seen the show, 50 Cent doesn't have anything to worry about. Unfortunately for him, his show is just not on a big network like Fox, but his show is far better than...
Well, he doesn't have the restrictions of network TV either.
Right, and his show, it's like an R-rated program. They go in, and the story's made for that. But all right. We wanted to give you guys... Oh, go ahead.
Well, one more thing I did want to bring up was there was this article in the LA Times. This writer, what is his name? Garrett Kennedy. He was talking about the progressive LGBT elements within Empire. And I kind of had a problem with two statements he made. I don't know if you wanted to discuss.
I don't know what he made.
Go ahead. Well, he one of the statements he said, in Black culture, masculinity often begins and ends with heterosexuality. And homosexuality is often seen as a sinful aberration. For a show like Empire, whose cast is Black and will likely attract a predominantly Black audience, to feature a gay man who isn't a stereotype or a comic relief is bold enough in its own right. But seeing it on a hip-hop show makes the show feel like a game changer. And I call bullshit because, for starters, like, masculinity isn't permeating other cultures as well. Like, why is it that the Black community still gets ostracized as the last homophobic community in the world?
Can I answer that question for you?
Feel free, sir.
Okay. You told us about when you went to see, I think the movie was Dear White People. Was a movie with Everybody Hates Chris actor.
Yes, Tyler, sir.
James Williams. And you told us about the reaction from just about everybody in the audience.
Okay, what was the reaction?
Tell them what the reaction was.
You know, they made little comments like...
It wasn't no little comments.
See, that was different, you know.
I love that answer.
Classic Nagger statement.
Are you scratching the back of your neck while you're saying, "See, I'm a see what happened was."
Because that was the most. That's the hoodest movie theater in not only South Central LA but LA period. So that's an aberration there.
How many hoods exist in the United States? Would you say
hoods?
How many hoods would you say?
Say
hundreds, thousands.
Thousands. I say thousands.
Okay.
Yes.
So take that hood, multiply by 1,000, and why are you not seeing? You may not agree with them. Why aren't you understanding where this guy's coming from?
All right.
How about the I'm not gay no more video? that's us clowning.
How did people react to Michael? To Magic Johnson's son. When he came out, how did Black?
Okay, folks... again,
that's different.
That don't count, you.
I mean, he's getting clout not because he's gay, but because he looks like a hot ass mess.
Right,
Tori. Tori, back me up.
Yeah, I agree. He, I don't even know if I have a word for it, but it's horrible.
Thank you. Very That's horrible. What he's getting clout for.
Hold on. What's that meme? What's that meme that I see every day on Facebook? But it was a GIF. Now it's a meme with the dude in the hot pants. Talking about, I'm just gonna skate on by. I see that all the time. You don't think they're clowning?
Check the timeline.
Come on, man.
I'm not gay no more.
I'm just saying you can't count Magic son because that dude looked like a goddamn fool. Like, he's just like, what the hell you got on? Like, come on, man.
Well, getting back to the article, I can see his point in terms of hip hop, though. You will get blasted which is why there's no openly gay rapper that's in the mainstream.
Frank Ocean?
He's not a rapper.
What is he?
He raps.
He is not a rapper. Let's be clear. He's not a rapper. He's not associated. He's a singer.
I think the lines between, maybe I'm wrong, this is my opinion, I think the lines between hip-hop and R&B vocalists is so blurred now. It's not like black people say, oh, well, he's a singer, so it's okay if he says he's gay or bisexual. But these hip-hop cats, nah, they got to be straight up heterosexual.
Again, I don't think it there's works like no that. Mainstream rapper who is gay. That one has come out for a reason. The singer dude, and there's a lot of opposition. I'm not saying it's good about Frank Ocean, but again, because he is not a rapper and there is no difference, there's no blur in terms of the real, you know, that masculine level hip hop, they did not recognize him. Why do you think Drake gets blasted so much within the culture? Because he does sing and they feel like that's soft. I don't think it's right, but that's why.
No, you gotta listen to some of his lyrics too. The dude name a tour. Would you like a tour? Like, what the fuck? The dude, he just exudes moistness. I'm sorry, this is called.
Which is, well, you're speaking exactly what I'm saying, right? They think he's soft. Again, that's why he has people clown on him. He's not. Go ahead.
But it's not about the homosexuality. It's just the dude.
Well, he's not gay. I didn't say it was about I'm saying why he gets those things that you say. What I'm saying is because of him singing and of the things that you mentioned. So imagine if he was really gay. They would go at him for really, real hard. And he's not gay, and they go at him.
But see, that brings up the question. I don't want to go off the beaten path here, but I look at the interview. And Mike, I agree with what you're saying. I don't take me wrong. Like, I was talking about Frank Ocean, like I was disagreeing with you. I was just saying there is this one guy who's kind of mainstream. But at any rate, I look at the movie The Interview and Eminem doing the part that he did. It fascinates me that he did that, even though we know it's a joke. But to your point, what would make him do that? Because I do think that people, artists, hip-hop artists, I kind of agree with the guy who wrote the article. So it just makes me fascinated that Eminem would do that because,
Eminem is white.
Yes, there you go.
I hate to say that make a difference.
You think so?
Oh, I know. You know so.
Well, you remember, too, we were talking about on Facebook, and we were saying that, you know, Eminem uses the, you know, he says faggot all the time. And I said that's his substitute word for the N-word. You don't think so?
No.
I believe
Eminem can get away with stuff that if a black rapper did that, we'd be out of here.
Exactly. It's funny.
How come he's never used that word, though?
The N-word?
Oh, because he knows.
Well, he did. Actually, he did. Remember, and he caught hell. But because of who he is, they let that slide.
Yeah,
brothers came out and public defended for him because that tape leak where he was saying black nigga bitch and what happened? Remember what happened? Maybe you don't remember what happened. That's the point. He can get where anybody else, if you come out saying some faggot stuff, you are over. If Jay-Z said the F word faggot out of his mouth as much times as Eminem, he would not be who he is today. Yeah.
I was going to say two points. If you notice that Jay-Z, he stopped using the word faggot. He used it up until, I want to say, prior to Blueprint 3, but the winds changed, and plus he got Beyonce, who is the feminist. He didn't use it in Magna Carta, which I noticed that's the power that they got.
I don't disagree with you that a lot, you don't hear rappers saying faggot anymore, the F word anymore. I don't believe it's because they're afraid of the gay lobby. How you going to be hardcore and be afraid of gay lobbyists? So gay activists.
They shut you. Because who is buying the tapes? That's another reason why Eminem got a pass. Because he didn't insult his core fan base. His core fan base are white people. They ain't offended by it, nigga. Matter of fact, they're like, ooh, good. He get to say it. You know, they want that pass.
To Mike's point, apparently they were because they shut him down. I don't understand why, but they called him to the carpet for that. You know what you just said, Mike?
Call who to the carpet?
They called Eminem to the carpet for using the N-word. And
no, I'm saying no, they didn't.
I thought you said they shut him down for using that word.
No, I said when that thing leaked out, everybody came to his defense, and he was able to continue on and grow bigger. Because I feel like he was the big white rapper, and of course they're not going to shut him down.
Well, I just find it interesting that he's never, at least to my knowledge, never used the word on record, but used the F word. I just think it's a substitute word for nigger. He uses faggot in the place of nigger. I think.
What do you base that on? Why do you think that?
Just kind of listen to he's always saying these faggots are trying to da 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 da. These niggas are trying to da da da. That's what I mean. He's using that word because he quote unquote.
So you said the context of the F word in his rhymes don't fit the subject matter. So that's what
sometimes.
But are you saying he's using it? I mean, based on your premise, are you saying he's using it in a racially derogatory sense, or is it in the sense of like, you know, we've done it on the show?
Right. Wait, yeah, what? We've done it on the show. I just think that it is the exact same way hip hop artists use it on record. He's using it on record the exact same way. He's just not saying nigga. He's saying faggot.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
The times I've heard Eminem say faggot, he was speaking about someone's sexuality.
I'm not an Eminem, lyric specialist, but there have been occasions where he hasn't used it in the context. It's just my opinion.
All I can say, I don't know what part of hip hop slang, black nor white, that uses faggot as a term of endearment.
Hey, just so we clarify.
Never mind. I guess my point is lost because I'm not saying that he's using it as a term of endearment. He's using it as
to say nigger in a negative way.
Like we would say, he was like, man, this nigga's over here. That's he saying. Instead of saying, hey, these faggots over here.
Nah, he ain't saying exactly. That. I don't believe that at all.
I'm not just saying that. I'm just helping Sean make his point.
I know what he's trying to say, but I just don't. From a limited stuff that I know of him, that wouldn't even make any sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, to stay on the Eminem train, the writer made another statement, which I vehemently disagree with. He said, imagine if a male pop star on the level of John Legend or Adam Levine used the word faggot as often as Eminem. It's doubtful that he'd be revered. And I'm just thinking like, so let me get this straight. Earlier in your piece, you were condemning the black community as being over homophobic, but then you back that up and justify it by stating how a white rapper uses a homophobic slur within the confines of a predominantly black culture. And I'm like, how do you even begin to justify that?
Because this is the writer that probably heard black people foolishly say, well, Bill Clinton was the first black president.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So we are so silly as to say white people, when they act ratchet, they get their black pass. That's why.
Well, and I've said this for a long time. You know, where is this gay mafia in use of the words faggot? Where were they on the song Money for Nothing by Dire Straits?
That's all. They didn't have no power.
That word is used twice, and no one to this day has said anything publicly about it. And I just don't get that.
Probably because they forgot about it.
No. Axl Rose did 2 years later, and all hell broke loose. But, you know, they saying Money for Nothing, oh, it's a great song. No, that's bullshit. You know, so if you're going to be offended, then be offended across the board.
My thing is that, yes, there is still some homophobia within the black community. But don't try to make this out like we're the last bastion where homophobia is normalized, when that is not the case, when there is far more anti-gay homophobia sentiment in the white community, within the machismo Latino community, and in the will behead your ass Arabic Muslim community.
All right, well, we're going to get off of the gay and lesbian community. Pause. Actually, no, we will go.
I'll handle a lesbian.
There you go. All right, we're going to go around the room, let you know where to find us. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed our review of Empire. We may review another episode. You never know. Tori, where can I find you?
Yes, I can be found on Facebook at Tori Blue Roses McGlory.
All right. Next up, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views and also Facebook, Sean Hill, and the Real Movie Talk, and then the blog. I forgot to name my blog for there for a second. Hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Got reviews coming of Inherent Vice, and I'm getting my Ghetto Pass back, Selma. So look out for those.
Ghetto Pass back.
All right,
man. I got clown for not going to see it. So.
but you didn't. Anyway.
But I damn.
You caved. You caved.
Snitching ass Michael D. Okay.
Oh my god, Big Sexy. Okay, we don't have that's for another time.
God damn. Support our black movies. Go put your money down. Listen to me talk.
Yeah, thank you.
next up, Big Sexy and Sack.
I can be found at Twitter under Big Sexy and Sack and on Facebook under Mark Wiggins. You got something to say, Q Storm?
You want me to say it?
Hurry up.
The floor is yours.
I just don't understand how, I mean, I'm not saying we should be monolithic, but I don't understand how a person of color could consciously say, I'm not going to go see Selma.
Mm. Where is it written that everybody of color has to fall in line with what one person makes?
And it's not written anywhere. I just saying. I don't understand why someone would consciously make that decision to say, it's the first film by Martin Luther King Jr. that's getting major release. I don't see why you wouldn't go support it.
It's not a question of support or not support.
I tell you what.
I know the story.
I tell you what, fellas, this conversation will go. So if you like, we're going to do our outros and we can start over and get into this. But
that's Michael Dean saying shut the fuck up.
I'm representing the listener, and they're already like, okay, now you're getting ready to have the door. Big Sexy and Sack, where can they find you?
I already went.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aunt Pooh.
Let's be clear. The listeners are already out the door. They're like, wrap it up. Okay, pause.
Aunt Pooh, where can they find you?
Uh oh, see, there you go. Shut the fuck up.
Twitter and Instagram at Aunt Pooh. There you go.
Right, respect the host. Q Storm, where can they find you?
You said respect the hoe? What'd you say?
Q Storm, where can they find you?
All right. You can find me at qstorm.com/lightstrike. Twitter, qstorm3476. And Facebook, my
Wow.
Bill O'Reilly doesn't have to deal with this. next up. Sean Hill, did we get you? We did get you, right?
No, I'm gone. Everyone's gone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what we're dealing with here.
Wait. Did you get Anthony?
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a Nagger produced program.
Oh, stop it.
And you have to deal with this thing sometimes. Well, we're going to try and get better. Well, listen, we do appreciate you listening. Please follow us on Twitter. At Podcast Juice, also on Facebook, Podcast Juice. Check out our website, podcastjuice.net. You can follow me personally at Twitter at MDean. And hey, we will see you next time. Work it like a job.